Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And now here is Adam Utecht, Senior Pastor at Community Church.
Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I'm so glad you joined us today on this Christmas Eve 2021. I have a lot of memories. I have a good long-term memory, maybe not so good short-term memory. Ask my wife. But I have a pretty good long-term memory, and I remember a lot of Christmas Eves. I remember as a kid going to Christmas Eve late service at church, and we had old school. We had candles, real candles everywhere, and it was really warm in there. So you're sitting down, and you're listening to the pastor in the late service at the 10 p.m., and you have had a long day. And what happens? You fall asleep, right? And so there was always sort of this question mark, like, it's like, okay, it's not if, but when and who in my family is going to fall asleep first while the pastor's preaching. And my family's here, so I got to really be careful because they're sitting right here. But it was always the same person every year, Dad. Excuse me. I just remember sitting in Christmas Eve services as a kid, and I remember thinking, I'm so excited about what presents I'm going to get, and I'm thinking about the next morning, and I was so preoccupied with that. I never listened to the pastor's sermon, ever. I was only thinking about what I wanted for Christmas and if I was going to get it the next morning. So kids, I understand. I understand if you're not listening. But you should. No. Okay, so I'll tell you my favorite Christmas as a kid, 1989. That Christmas was great. I got my all-time favorite Christmas childhood gift, and here it is. It was a Nintendo Entertainment System. Did anyone else get one of these? Raise your hand. Okay, a number of us here got this. So it was the action set, and it was great. I was so excited to open it up. It came with this game. Anybody? All right, let's go, Mario Bro. All right, I love this game. Mario. Well, it was a combo game. It was Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. We won't talk about Duck Hunt. We'll talk about Mario Brothers. I had to take turns playing with my siblings all day. We played literally, we hooked it up, we played it all day long on Christmas Day. It was the best Christmas, and we were learning how to play the game. And if you're not familiar with Super Mario Brothers, Mario races against time, collects coins, somehow absorbs mushrooms and gets taller. I don't know why, but he charges the castle, and he is going to save the princess, you think. But no, you haven't really saved the princess. You have to go to the next level. But that was his goal. He is a hero. He is a savior. We love heroes, right? We love saviors. There's a new movie out just last week. Anybody? Spider-Man: No Way Home. Anybody seen it? Okay. Don't tell me about it. I wanna go see it. It's extremely popular. It's been out in theaters only a week, and opening weekend, let me tell you this, opening weekend, Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie, brought in $253 million on opening weekend. It's going to be a billion-dollar film, easy. Why? Why do we love these movies? They're really well made, of course, but we love heroes, right? We love saviors, people who save. Well, there was a hero born over 2,000 years ago, who was also known as Lord and Savior. He brought the gospel, the good news, and of course, I'm talking about? No, I'm talking about Caesar. See, I tricked you all. I set you up. I'm talking about Caesar. Now you're like, wait a minute. The Roman emperor was known as Lord and Savior. He was the one who would bring the good news. Now, scholar N.T. Wright says this. He says, in the Apostle Paul's world, the main gospel was the news of, or the celebration of, Caesar. A long line of Roman emperors were lauded as divine in the first century. One author says all Romans were expected to agree. Not only was the emperor extremely powerful, he was to be considered the divine son of God. Who does that sound like? Roman emperors were worshipped. The people called Caesar Kyrios, Lord, and Soter, Savior. They called him Lord and Savior. The son of Augustus, Tiberius, who was the Roman emperor when Jesus was doing his earthly ministry, Tiberius Caesar had his likeness on Roman coins, like this one, with the inscription, Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. Divine. Check out this Egyptian monument. Around 10 BC, Caesar Augustus ordered this monument moved from Egypt to Rome. Rome had started to advance on Egypt's land, and they were taking over. And so he had this monument taken to Rome, and he had this Latin inscription put on this monument. And here's what it says. Imperator or commander Caesar, the son of a god, Augustus, chief high priest. Having subjected Egypt to the power of the people of Rome, he gave this gift to the son. That's a little arrogant, isn't it? Gave this gift to the son. Caesar Augustus is described by an ancient author this way. Here it is. Virgil says this. Here is the hero, Caesar Augustus, the offspring of a god who again will found a golden age. What's he talking about? The expectation of Roman citizens in this time was that Caesar Augustus would usher in a golden age of peace and prosperity throughout the empire called Pax Romana. Roman citizens were compelled to call Caesar Kyrios and Soter, Lord and Savior, and they did. They called him that because, after all, we love heroes. We love saviors. It's interesting that around 4 BC, as everyone was calling Caesar son of God, the hero, the Lord, and Savior, Jesus was born. He was humbly born, almost totally unnoticed by the world, in a little town of Bethlehem. See, Jesus is the true hero, the real Son of God, the actual Lord and Savior of the world. Jesus' birth is what we celebrate today. We don't celebrate Caesar, do we? All he ended up was selling pizzas. It's the only thing he's known for now. Pizza, pizza. But we celebrate Jesus at Christmas time. We celebrate his coming. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. And this Christmas Eve, we're going to zoom in and we're going to see that Jesus is the true Lord and Savior. So, 2 points. Number one, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. In the time of an imposter Savior, Caesar Augustus, the real Savior came into the world. Luke records an angel of the Lord appearing to some insignificant shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel said this, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David, this Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel uses language from Isaiah chapter 9. We've been looking at this the last four Sundays. Unto you is born. The angel's using this language from Isaiah 9 to proclaim Jesus is coming. And where was Jesus born? He was born in the city of David. And who is Jesus? He tells the shepherds, he is the Savior. He is the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the true Savior, not Caesar. Jesus is the true Lord, not Caesar. You think that would have rung pretty powerful in their ears? All they heard about the Lord and Savior was Caesar. And yet they're hearing the real Savior and Lord is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one throughout the Old Testament. This child was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9. This child has finally arrived, and so the shepherds ran to see for themselves. Joseph and Mary, they knew who Jesus was. They knew Jesus was the Savior. Let's just rewind 9 months. When Joseph found out Mary was pregnant, he was not excited. Because this is not his baby. This is not his child. Yet he was gracious and he was a righteous man and he made up his mind to divorce Mary quietly. But an angel told Joseph in a dream this: Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will what? What does it say? Save. Jesus is the Savior. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. See, when Jesus was 30 years old, as he was beginning his earthly ministry, John the Baptist saw him. He saw Jesus coming, and he declared, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God is not against us. God is for us. John 3:17 says this: for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through him, through Jesus. Here's what one commentator says. John Oswalt says, Jesus is the ultimate expression of the truth that God is indeed with us, Emmanuel, not for our destruction, but for our redemption. God is not for our destruction. God is for our redemption. So here's the big question I want to ask you today. Have you been redeemed? Have you been saved? Has Jesus saved you? Now, you might be thinking a couple things. You might be thinking, one, you might be thinking, well, saved from what? I'm doing fine. I don't need Jesus. I want to say humbly, I want to say that's not true. God's word is clear that all of us have sinned. We have rebelled against God's law. And God has written his law on our hearts. We know, we all know deep down what's right and what's wrong, don't we? We all know. And we have chosen to go our own way. We've chosen to rebel. We're born with this tendency. We are born with this tendency. It's not always evident. We kind of hide it sometimes. But sometimes it's very evident. Like this little British boy. Watch this.
Okay. That's why you're on the naughty list.
I swear, trust me.
Well, that's why you're on the naughty list, because you're being naughty right now. So you're going to be on the naughty list if you keep talking like that.
No, because Father Christmas is not being very nice to me.
Because you're being naughty, so you're on the naughty list.
No, I'm not. I'm on the good list, actually.
You're not because you ain't being good.
I am on the good list. If you keep saying that word again and again and again, I'm not on naughty list.
Father Christmas rang me last night when I was at work,
yes,
and said, you better tell Jackson to start being a good boy or he's going to stay on the naughty list and he won't get no presents for Christmas. That's what he said to me. So you've got to start being a good boy.
And then I'll do what I've got to him.
No, you won't do... What?
Punch him.
You're just silly, man.
Trust me, I'm not on bad list.
You're on the naughty list, mate. Wouldn't it be a good boy then?
Not my child. Right? You're all like, whew, okay. We don't have to teach our children how to lie, how to steal, how to cheat. We don't have to teach them how to threaten to punch Father Christmas. We don't have to teach them that. They come up with that all by themselves, right? It's in them from birth. It's called the sin nature. We all have been born into that. We all have a bent to sin, to rebel against God. And as we kind of laugh about this little boy, you know, the truth is sin is very serious. Sin is humanity's biggest problem. We got a lot of problems these days, right? In the world, got a lot of problems. But our biggest problem today is not COVID. It's not inflation. It's not corruption. It's not politics. It's not terrorism or wars. Our biggest problem is sin. That's our biggest problem, because it is an eternal problem. All these other problems we have are temporary. They're only in this life, but sin is our biggest problem. It's an eternal problem, because our sin, our rebellion against God, earns us eternal separation from God. Now you might say, well, but are we really that bad? All the time? No. But it's not about our overall performance. Our one theologian says this, we are not as bad as we can be, but we are as bad off as we can be. There are very many well-meaning, kind, loving people in this world, but every one of those people, us included, rebel against God. We have sinned against God, and no amount of good works can wipe away our sin against an infinitely holy God. We all stand condemned before Him, and we all need a Savior, the Savior. The other thing you might be thinking, you might be actually thinking the opposite when we talk about needing a Savior. You might be thinking, you know, I'm not good enough to be saved. In fact, I've blown it. It's too late for me. I'm a lost cause. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not true. That's not true. A savage criminal was put to death next to Jesus. If you know about this at the crucifixion, that criminal put his faith in Jesus alone. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said this, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 22:43. In fact, a detested tax collector, a thief and a traitor to his own people, believed on Jesus, and Jesus declared, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." I want to tell you, if you've really blown it, Jesus is seeking you. He died for you to be your Savior. If you feel really lost today, you need to know Jesus is looking for you. We all need a Savior, and Jesus is the only Savior. Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." We cannot be our own Saviors, and we are never too far gone to be saved. We all must come to Jesus. We need to respond to Him. If you've never really come to Jesus, you can do it right now, right where you're sitting. Romans 10:9-10 tells us what to do. It says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in salvation, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." In order to be saved, we need to repent and believe on Jesus. We see really clearly that Jesus is Lord and Savior in these verses. The confession that Jesus is Lord, that's repentance. And then we see belief in the heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is a statement to say that everything that happened, everything Jesus did, what He accomplished on the cross, and even His resurrection is what saves us, not our own efforts to be good enough. You're believing that Jesus died for you to save you. Have you made that choice? Have you made that decision? If you do, if you turn to Jesus in faith today, He will be your Savior. So have you crossed the line of faith? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone? I hope you have, and if you haven't, I hope you won't leave today until you do. This is a decision of the heart. When you repent and believe on Jesus alone, He will be your Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Second, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior and Lord cannot be separated. They must be connected. Philippians chapter 2 is really clear about this, that because Jesus is Savior, He is also Lord. Listen to Philippians 2, 8 through 11. Jesus humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Now look at this. For this reason, you see that? For this reason, God highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. You see the connection? Because He died, because He is the Savior, He is Lord. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, because Jesus died for our sins, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Better to do it now by choice than later by being forced. We all are going to say it. We're all going to bow the knee. I hope you do it now before it's too late. He is Lord. He's not Lord someday. He's Lord today. Did you know that? He's Lord today. He is reigning over the universe. Jesus is on the throne, according to Revelation chapter 4, 1 and 2. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. He is in charge of it all. Have you bowed the knee to him? Here's what Nancy Guthrie says about the practical implications of Jesus as Lord. She says this: since Jesus is on the throne, you can stop trying to rule the world. You can stop all your worrying and your vain attempts to be to control everything about your life and your family. The one who is seated on the throne is not only able to supply your needs and provide your protection, he has at his disposal everything needed to fulfill all of his promises to you. Because he is on the throne, your joy doesn't have to be so tied to your circumstances, and your sense of security doesn't have to be so easily shaken. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Maybe you have put your faith in Jesus alone. You are a Christian, and you're saved. But maybe this Christmas Eve, this is a time for a reset for you. You haven't been allowing Jesus to be Lord in your life. You haven't allowed him to be in charge, fully in charge. See, Jesus as Lord means he's totally in charge of your life, not you. He calls the shots, not you. So we need to bow the knee. We need to treat him as Lord over every part of our lives, not just some segments of our lives, our entire lives. I've heard one pastor say it this way: if Jesus is not Lord over all, he is not Lord at all. Jesus must be Lord over all, every part of our lives. So that's a challenge. If you're a believer in Christ, is he Lord over all, every part of your life? Ray Vanderland challenges us. He says, we live in a culture that, like Rome, proclaims a gospel of its own making. All too easily, we bow to the gospel of humanism, making ourselves to be our own Lord. I am Lord of my life. I decide what is right and wrong. I do it my way. Okay, sorry. Heard that before. We serve the gospel of hedonism by living for pleasure and leisure. We honor the gospel of materialism by making life all about what we have and what more we can get. And we worship as heroes those who make it to the top of the heap. Is that true in our culture today? Like Caesar Augustus in the first century, there are plenty of false lords in the 21st century. Don't follow false lords. Don't follow the false lords of humanism or hedonism or materialism. Don't bow your knee to them. Like Caesar, they too are counterfeits. They're not the real thing. Jesus came to this earth to be the Lord and Savior. So is he your Lord and Savior? I hope we'll turn to him, all of us, we'll turn to him this Christmas. Raymond Ortland Jr. puts Jesus' names in perspective for us. Here's what he says. He says, look at Jesus. As the wonderful counselor, he has the best at ideas and strategies. Let's follow him. As the mighty God, he defeats his enemies easily. Let's hide behind him. As the everlasting Father, he loves us endlessly. Let's enjoy him. As the Prince of Peace, he reconciles us while we are still his enemies. Let's welcome his dominion. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, and he is the only